Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works I do. When we reflect upon the marvelous mystery of God's communication with mankind, we reflect upon, first and foremost, that mankind would not exist if God had not brought him into existence out of nothing by the act of creation. And so we are confronted with a marvelous mystery even in creation. And yet, we are told by the modern world that we must accept certain principles. We are told that we must believe it all came about either through a slow progression of evolution or from a big bang. Such random disorder was the cause of all the order in the world. And yet, what science does teach us is that if we were to take even one principle by which the world is governed and tweak it just a tad, for instance, the gravitational pull of the universe, if it were to be slightly adjusted just by a fraction of a fraction of a fraction, if we were to increase it by that mere amount, then nothing could exist save a pea. Anything greater than the size of a pea would be annihilated, crushed, and yet we are told that this magnificent creation, this magnificent universe, so delicate in its operation, was the creation of some random disorder. And yet, we know different. We know because, as in today's gospel, we have been called to come and know the works of the Lord. And often we do not understand this mysterious term in Scripture. What are the works of the Lord? What are the works of the Father? And so we look and we must ask the question, we know the works of the Father if we know the works of Christ. And so what are the works of Christ spoken of in today's gospel? Are they those miracles he worked that are called the natural miracles because they were worked on inanimate objects in which our Lord stills the stormy sea? Or he feeds the 5,000 out of a mere fragment of loaves of bread and fishes, or the walking on the water where he suspends the laws of nature, not by forming ice, but literally walking on water which we know by its nature cannot support the weight of a human body. Or was it placing the taxes for the temple in the mouth of the fish that we seek the works of God? The turning of the water into wine. Perhaps we are to look for these works of God's in the healing miracles of our Lord, in which he cleanses those afflicted by leprosy, in which he heals the centurion's servant, Peter's mother-in-law, and many others, the woman with the hemorrhage. Perhaps we are to look for the works of God in the restoration of the paralytic, of the blind, of the deaf, and of the mute. And if we cannot find the works of God there, perhaps we see them in the resurrection miracles, in which he raises the ruler of the daughter from the dead, the widow's son at Nahum, or Lazarus at Bethsaida. Or perhaps, if not here, we find them in the casting out of demons. And yet, we see very clearly that in response to the miracles of the Lord, the primary response was unbelief. And so, miracles are no remedy for unbelief. They did virtually nothing except those who believed. What happened when our Lord raised Lazarus from the dead? They sought more earnestly to kill him. And that was the common response to all the miraculous works of the Lord, to seek more earnestly to undo him. And so, we often make the mistake. We pray for, and we must earnestly pray, that God continues to work miracles. But those miracles, in and of themselves, will have virtually no effect on mankind if he is saturated with unbelief. And so, modern science tells us we must believe certain things, and it only proves that they have burned the black hole of unbelief in their minds, and such filth and such vile notions pass through as if they were truly empty because they are empty. And so, what are the works of God? Strictly speaking, these miracles are not the works of God, but the results. And so, what is the work of God? Does not the Virgin, the Blessed Virgin at Cana, tell us very precisely what is the works of God? that they are the very words he speaks? Does she not tell us, do whatever he tells you? And in our Lord, in his Eucharistic discourse, does he not, in response to the disciples' incredulity, say the same thing? For when they did not believe, he asked them, does this scandalize you? The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. In another place he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so, the eternal word, his very words, are his works. And so, we must know the word of God, because when he speaks them, things truly do happen and transformations truly take place. The eternal word of the Father, not uttered in time, but in all eternity, who fashioned for himself a body in the Blessed Virgin Mary in order that he may reveal to us the mystery of the Divine Trinity hidden from mankind for all eternity. He is the perfect expression of the Father who became man in order to teach us the word and love of the Father, in order that the Virgin would give him the flesh so that the Son would teach us again of the Father's mercy, and so that mankind could again return to him whom he had separated himself from sin. And so we must understand these truths if we are truly to enter into the mystery of our faith. It is the word of God in and of itself that accomplishes what he says. In the Old Testament, God often instructed the chosen people to make forays into the enemy's camp where it was necessary, but he forbade them to dwell there. And so, to us too, is forbidden the dwelling in the enemy's camps. And so, we must seriously reflect that as members of the mystical body of Christ, as Roman Catholics, have we dwelt too often in the enemy's camps? Do we go about our business making forays in order to secure what is necessary for our families, or have we begun to truly pitch our tent in the world and hence not able to hear the word of God and hence missing out on the opportunity to truly be transformed? Unless we do not believe this, then we cannot believe that in the sacraments it is the very word of God that accomplishes the miracle that takes place. The bread does not hesitate. The word is spoken, the word of Christ, and there is no moment of time that passes where the bread obeys. When the words are spoken over the wine, it immediately annihilates itself in order to become the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no hesitation. Oh, how much we can learn from the inanimate objects of this world. So often we hesitate when the word of God is spoken to us. When the words of baptism are spoken, the water immediately accomplishes the work that Christ instructs to be accomplished. That is, the claiming of a soul for the kingdom of heaven. And so it is, the word of God in the flesh that are the very works of God, and most particularly the work of the Father, born from him from all eternity and in time in the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is the word that he has spoken to us and the work that was accomplished the moment the Mother of God gave her fiat. And so we must reflect. For the rejection of the word of God is necessarily the establishment of the culture of death. Not in an insignificant way, but by the very fact that the word of God is rejected, the kingdom of Satan is immediately established. And we must understand that if we are to understand what is transpiring in the modern society. By those who would seek to redefine marriage, not according to the word of God, but according to the death-bringing word of Satan himself. And that goes forth for every other thing spoken contrary to the word of God. The word of God says very clearly, but he that shall scandalize one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone should be hanged around his neck and that he should be drowned into the depths of the sea. And do we doubt that those who continue in the scandalizing of the little ones will not have that accomplished in them? The word of God is not a deceptive word, and he speaks very clearly to every culture and to every man, woman, or child who would be contrary to his word. And so we must reflect. Have we cooperated in the scandalizing of the little ones? The answer is clear. The answer is clear because we know very clearly Christ does not reign over the modern society. And if he does not reign, then chaos necessarily does. And that always means Satan and death. And that was the constant theme of the Holy Father of happy memory, Pope John Paul II. The culture of life, the word and works of God, or the culture of death. The words and works, the dead works of Satan himself. And so we have much to reflect upon. For the enemy has come into the home. Not just the home of the modern pagan, but the home of those who profess to believe in the word and wish to have that word accomplished in them by the works of the Savior himself. We see this very clearly in what has become perhaps the most modern form of babysitting, plopping a child down in front of a video. No one denies that it will accomplish what it often is intended to do. For there is no zombification like the zombification of a child plopped down in front of a video. It is more effective than the most powerful sedative, but it is often a tainted and poisoned pill, because when that passiveness is taken away from them, then they put into practice all those things that the videos place before them. And so we have an epidemic of violence, of vanity, of vice, of rebellion and restlessness among the youngest of our community. And if we need not believe this, we only need to watch and behold the videos of the enemies of the church. We only need to watch a child in the second grade use an analogy to describe the indulgence of the passions of the flesh by saying it's like a new vegetable. You won't know if you try it, if you like it, until you try it. And we think that Christ is not scandalized when this is fed down the throats, the minds, and the hearts of our children. Do we think that the Lord will passively sit while his children are corrupted in the most vile way? Do we think that the Lord does not hear the cry of the young as we try to introduce them into the most perverse practices that human society has ever seen on this scale? They have always been with us. They will always be with us. But nowhere in the history of mankind have they become so prevalent than they are in the modern society and in our modern age. And it is because men reject the word of God. And we are called to reestablish that word in the world so that the works of Christ may continue to the end of time. This will be done either with our cooperation or without it. And if it's without, then we, like all the enemies of Christ, will be swept away in an instant and be driven to that abode of which there is no escape. Christ said very clearly, there are two choices, either the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of Satan. And yet, we are told not to say such words.